So good to see everyone out this evening. It's good to have visitors. We're so glad you're here. If your baby starts talking tonight, that's music to our ears. So we are glad that you are here. I'm going to take my jacket off. It's a little bit warmer up here than this morning. And I told Carol this morning, I said, I didn't preach as long as I usually like to, and I said I can just preach a lot longer this evening and it'll balance out so it comes out even. The title of our sermon this evening is When I've Gone the Last Mile of the Way. And I thank Jim for leading the song that we just sang. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. We're going to look at the end of the life of someone we all know and learn some lessons from that. And when you see this picture, you know who it is. Moses, one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament. And you think about from his birth and when he was hid and when he grew up in the palace and all the things that transpired. We'll get into a little bit of that. The amazing life that he lived. But like everyone, there comes an end. So we're going to look from Deuteronomy chapter 34. I invite you to open your Bibles if you want to read along there, or if you want to follow the slides up here. So Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his life was divided into three 40-year spans. The first 40 years was spent in a palace. He had all that the devil had to offer there. All the riches, whatever he wanted, was available to him the first 40 years. The second 40 years, he spent on the backside of a desert. Basically, he was out of circulation. He saw some things he didn't like where his people were mistreated. He killed an Egyptian and he fled for his life. The third 40 years were spent in the wilderness. He was learning to look up then. Look up to God. Look up and to trust in God. And when Moses stood on the top of Pisgah, it was not as someone that was trembling and fearful and hoping for God's compassion and mercy, but he was a servant who found favor with God. And he finished his work before his body wore out. And that's very unusual. And like the law that he represented, he was set aside before his natural force was abated. And there are some things that are unique to the departure of Moses that suggest some characteristics of death which we should consider for each and every one of us. Consider that it was a revelation. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 1, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah. So Pisgah is another name for Mount Nebo, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south, the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, and as far as Zoar. So it talks about going up to the top of Mount Pisgah. And we can think when we die about going up, literally, figuratively, mounting up, going up in the spirit to heaven. We might want to depart and be with Christ. And like Enoch, Moses was not, for God took him. He took him again before his body was worn out. He died, but in respect to like Enoch, he had done his work. Those who live on top of the hilltop of communion with the Father We don't have far to go when death calls. You stop and think about that. You want to live closer and closer to God. When we die, we want to be so close to God that it's not a long journey. If it is a long journey, we're probably going to be going in the opposite direction. How about being lonely? Moses was alone with God on the mount. It was just God and Moses. Do you think that he was lonely? When you think about being with God, God is all that you need. You could have all your friends with you, but you aren't going to be thinking about your friends when it comes time to die. You're going to be thinking about God. The dying servant of God does not feel any loss at the absence of friends by his side. He didn't say, well, where's Aaron, my brother? Where's my sister? Where's this person? Where's that person? He was comfortable being alone with God. How about us? He was so filled with the glory of his presence that he forgot those things that were behind. And friends, I think that's going to be something that all of us will experience. When we face the glory of God, we are going to forget all of those things that are behind us, those things that are cares and worries and troubles to us now. They're going to be gone. He was alone, but without any feeling of loneliness. He was at home with God. Now, this next slide, maybe some of you have been to this place. It's not over in Palestine. Carol and I have stood in front of this sign, C7 States. This is at Lookout Mountain at Rock City. And you can see from this one point, you can see Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Atlanta. It's got this little marker where you can look out. Well, interestingly enough, and Moses didn't have this, but you go to Mount Nebo and they have a plaque like this over there. You can see Hebron, these other names I can't make out without enlarging it a lot. Jerusalem, Jericho, and some Lake Tiberias from this vantage point. So this was a satisfying vision that Moses had. The Lord showed him all the land. And you just stop and think about it. This was the promised land that Moses had been leading the Israelites to for the last 40 years. And now the Lord caused him to see it. And again, referring back to our map from Wednesday night, where we see Mount Nebo, where I have it circled with that white circle. And he went up from the plains of Moab, which is just south of this mount, to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. Jericho is to the west. You just go over the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I'm sorry, of the Dead Sea. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan. Dan was in the northern part of Palestine, on Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, the land of Judah as far as the Western Sea over to the Mediterranean Sea, the south, the plain of the Valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Moses, he had been spending 40 years of his life trying to reach this place, and he sees it, and he doesn't get to go in. He saw a preview of the promised land. He went up to meet death, and he was unafraid to meet death. Other saints have had that experience also. Stephen, when he was being stoned, he saw Christ standing at the right hand when the heavens opened up. Paul talked about being caught up to the third heaven. Paul said, I'm in a hard place. I don't know whether to go or to stay. Moses saw a land of rest after wandering for 40 years. He saw a land of plenty flowing with milk and honey. He saw a land of victory. But there is also regret when he had gone the last mile of the way. The Lord said to him in verse 4, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." That had to hurt Moses to hear God tell him that. But he would not have been surprised. He had regrets. The Lord said, "Thou shalt not go over." Moses missed the only thing that he had looked forward to. So what are we looking forward to, friends? Are we looking forward to our next vacation or going here or there or getting this or that? Or are we looking forward to going to the promised land? But Moses had some regrets. I imagine he regretted killing that Egyptian. He killed that Egyptian and he fled. He was gone for 40 years. He probably regretted marrying that Ethiopian. God did not want them to marry outside of the nation. Moses would have regretted striking the rock and taking glory for the water coming out. He had regrets. But one of the things about regrets, you can't go back and undo them. And for the saddest words, it might have been. If not for killing the Egyptian, if not for marrying the Ethiopian, if not for smiting the rock, if not for all of these, it might have been this great hero of faith would have been able to go into the promised land. We see the reckoning hand of God in verses 5 through 7. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. So in verse 6, he buried him, God buried Moses. You see, we don't know what means or how he did it, but you can't read of God doing that with anyone else. Verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. He served God in full strength. And God said, the time is over, the time is up. Verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. It's interesting, they wept for him for 30 days, but while he lived, they murmured. They murmured over and over against him. They complained about him, but their conscience hurt. In Exodus 15:24, the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Exodus 16:2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Exodus 17:3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" So many times they said, "Just let us go back to Egypt where there's cucumbers and the different things to eat." They complained, they complained, they murmured against Moses. Numbers 14:2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, the whole congregation, and said unto them, "Would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness?" Numbers 16:14, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." you think about, again, everything that this man Moses had been through and leading a million plus people in the wilderness, listening to them complain, and Moses seeing God going up on the mountain to receive the law from him, God speaking to Moses, Moses knowing the will of God for the people, and the people complained. They complained. That had to hurt Moses. But he didn't give up. He kept on leading them to get them to the promised land. But when Moses died, there had to be a replacement. And in verse 9, now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Notice that Moses had laid his hands on Joshua the son of Nun. And notice, no man is irreplaceable. God always raises up a man. When Moses died, Joshua was to follow. There's a lesson for us in so many ways with that. There's a lesson for a congregation. Again, a congregation should not look to the preacher. It's his responsibility to do this, his responsibility to do that. Just like Moses was gone, each and every preacher is going to die or be gone someday. And God will raise up somebody because God's work is bigger than one man. Verse 10. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent to him in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all the mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Before we talk about that a minute, I want to go back to the Hebrews and just talk about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's why I said the first 40 years he had all that the devil had to offer there in the palace. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. We see the great faith of Moses. And here in Deuteronomy, all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent to him in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, the plagues that were sent, before his servants, by the mighty power and the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. One of those things being the terror of the Lord showed at the crossing of the Red Sea, where the waters parted, the Israelites crossed, the Egyptians came after them, and God destroyed Pharaoh's army. And when all the plagues were taking place, and Moses kept saying, you know, let God's people go, and then Pharaoh finally said, you go, I don't want to see your face anymore. There is not a prophet like Moses in the land of Israel. Again, you can't read that about anybody else. This is what was said of Moses. This is what was said of Moses. What will be said about you when you die? What will be said about me when I die? How will you be remembered? How will I be remembered? We need to think about that now and not wait till later in our lives, because the sooner we think about that, the fewer regrets we're going to have when we get older. If we don't think about serving God, we're going to have a lot more regrets when we get older. We see a remembrance here in Deuteronomy 34. In the acceptance of Joshua, the people were needed to understand that Joshua was not Moses' equal. God spoke to Moses face to face, but Joshua needed to go through priestly mediation. He needed the priest to approach God to find out what to do. Later, when Joshua neglected to consult God, as we again talked about on Wednesday evening with the Gibeonites, that was a very costly error that Joshua made because he did not seek God's will in what to do. A remembrance, a prophet likened to Moses. There is never but one in all human history who was indeed a prophet likened to Moses in several ways. And who was that one that was like Moses? Jesus Christ. Moses and the mighty signs and wonders. There's not a prophet like him in the mighty signs and wonders that he performed. And you think about Christ. There is none like Christ in the mighty signs and wonders that he performed. Any and everybody that came to Jesus, he healed them. He showed that he was from God. And Moses being a type of Christ who was to come. You think about Moses. He was the mediator of a covenant. He went up on the mountain to receive the covenant, the law from God. And Christ, he was the mediator of a new covenant. Moses, who knew directly from God what was intended. Moses knew directly from God what God wanted done. And Jesus Christ, he spoke as the Father spoke. He spoke what the Holy Spirit wanted him to speak. Christ, the only prophet greater than Moses, spoke the will of God. Moses, think about Moses, the prophet, he actually led the people out of bondage from Egypt. And again, our high priest, Christ, the great prophet, led us out of the bondage of sin. You see the similarities between Moses and Christ. There is but one who is worthy of greater honor than Moses, namely the apostle and high priest of our profession, who is placed as a son over the house of God, in which Moses was found a faithful servant. So Moses was found a faithful servant. Christ was the son over the house of God. Jesus Christ, the founder and mediator of the new and everlasting covenant. Back to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And Numbers 12:7, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all things. Friends, what's going to be said about us when we die? What's going to be said about us? Since then, there's not been a prophet arisen in Israel, a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent to him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and the great terror of which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. When I've gone the last mile of the way, what's going to be said about me? And this isn't the last that we read about Moses, because Moses appears on the scene later, as we've talked about in our Sunday morning class, in Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who happened in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So Moses, we know, was in paradise when he died. He and Elijah, another great prophet, are at the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's interesting, just before this, Jesus was telling his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die, and on the third day he would be raised up. And when Moses and Elijah come and are on this mount with Christ, what are they talking about? What he just told the disciples, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Friends, there are so many good things that we can learn from Moses. He's an example for us. He is a type of Christ. Friends, when we've gone the last mile of our way, we want to be so close to God that, like Moses, when he was up on the mount, he was not alone. You hear some people talk about dying and they say they don't want to be alone when they die. They might want to have family or friends there. Friends, if we have God with us, we are not alone. And it should not be a thing to fear. We should prepare ourselves like Moses did, because we don't know when our time will be. He lived 120 years and would have kept on living, except he was set aside like the old law. He had served his purpose. Friends, how will we be remembered? We need to be remembered as a New Testament Christian. We need to heed the word of Christ and do what he said, to be baptized, to be added into the kingdom, to become a child of God, that we might enjoy the riches and the treasures that he has to offer us, and to have the hope of that home in heaven. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this evening, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.